We spoke about the Greek word ekklesia, that meant the called out, that we are being, or that we are called out of something, and God is ordaining us, ordained us for something specifically. We spoke about that this week, about our concept of church. Often that's different to what God, or how God sees church. And again, like I said last time, it's so impossible for me just to paint you the whole picture this morning about what church is and all the different aspects of that. So I really trust that God will just touch on the things that, or lead us to touch on the things that's in His heart. There's so much more that we can say about church. I mentioned about the book last week, Bill Hammond, about the eternal church. If you want to read more about that, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of other churches, a lot of other books as well you can read, apart from the Bible, obviously. But we spoke about that. We spoke about the fact that we were called, that God called us, predestined us, and actually about the thing that Ephesians says, that when God called us before the foundation of the world, He dreamed about the church, about His bride, that Christ dreamed about His bride, about us, that it gave Him great pleasure. That is just so beautiful when you think about that, that it gave God great pleasure. So if Christ thinks about it like that, when he sees His bride and it gives Him great pleasure, we ask ourselves a question, ain't it be same with us? Shouldn't we be excited about the church as well? Shouldn't it give me great pleasure as well? Or if it doesn't give you great pleasure, your wire box must be rewired over this time. Hopefully, there's a shortcut somewhere, and the bird must have gone in there, and now you have a shortcut, and might be a believer that's flown in there. That's why you don't like church, a believing bird. Okay, sometimes things happen in church that cause us not to like church, and hopefully God is going to rewire us a little bit thinking about that. I want to go to Ephesians 1 verse 14 this morning, and it says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. Say, God purchased me. God purchased me. You don't belong to yourself. You are His property, whether you want to see it or not. That's what the Bible says. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Where's the other mic? Can I have the other mic quickly? I don't know. I forgot about this. That's why. Yeah, you can throw it. So we need to ask ourselves the question, why does the church exist this morning? Okay, now you're going to help me preach. So I didn't prepare well, so now I'm just going to switch over to you. And I'm going to ask each one of you to deliver a 5-minute word from the Lord. So you've got to start trusting here. And we're going to ask Hero to bring the first 5 minutes. Okay, I'll give you a minute, then I'll come back to you. I want you just to talk to the person next to you and ask yourself, or discuss this thing. What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify God? If the church is called to glorify, to praise and glorify God, what does it mean practically to us? Okay, quickly, I'm going to ask you. So you have to discuss something, at least that you have answer. Okay, Hero, you're going to tell us. I'll start with you. As you sit in the front, you get all the shots first. But keep remaining here. Show them the example. They've got to sit here, eh? Close to them. And I wouldn't say that. Okay, come on. Tell us, why do you think the church exists? Or how do we glorify God? Sorry.
I love that.
Yeah. More, more. Oh. Yeah. I think it's just to let God know what you think about of Him and where you put Him in your life. And to show him that you are happy for him. I think so. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Yara. Thank you. I'm going to give you, you're looking.
Good morning. I think what does it mean to glorify God is just to put God first in your life. Just let him work his way in your life. Just let him take charge of doing everything in your life.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Walter has been doing Bible school for a while now, and I'm going to ask him to give us the theologically correct answer.
I think, we've received the Spirit, and if somebody can see that in our lives, and they can compliment that, they can see God in our life and the love, that is also a way that we glorify Him, that they truly believe in God because they see the difference in us.
One more. I'll just look at the one that's not looking at me. Like, you're not making eye contact with me. I'm going to ask you, Liesel.
Verskoon my stem is heeltemal weg. Ek dink dit is om gehoorsaam aan God te wees en to be humble, om, soos wat sy gesê het, om God heel eerste te stel vir ander mense, om eerder te doen dit wat God van jou verwag, as dit wat jy wil doen om jou self glorie te gee.
Thank you, Liesel. All right, I want us to, when we have church, or when we look at the church in general, and all we're right, by the way, let me just give you the, you get the star afterwards, you can come and collect it from me. Okay, when we look at the church nowadays, and we ask ourselves the question, how do we glorify God? We will find probably any church can be placed in either one of these two categories, two philosophies we would find. The church in general. The first one I would call the quality. Let me deal with the quality one first. Or the quality purpose. Churches that subscribe to this kind of philosophy, they normally believe, and you will find that the people believe there must be good worship, good teaching. People need to be discipled. We need to look after one another. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. We need to make sure that everybody is equipped, that everybody finds their purpose, that everybody finds where they need to serve within the body. And we spend a lot of time and energy in equipping people and discipling people within that context. In this kind of church, and I want to say we might find ourselves, but well, let me not run ahead, in either one of them at different stages in life. In this church, the service is a lot of times constructed in such a way that it's comfortable for the believer. So we probably go a little bit deeper. We'll share a bit more about encouraging people to develop the fruit of the Spirit, to see that, or that the Holy Spirit, that we submit to that, so that the Holy Spirit will continue to do that. And a church in this category, if we can call it like that, is normally good in fellowship. They're very good. They look after one another. Then we find another philosophy, another category, which I would call the quantity philosophy or category. And the church in this one normally exist and make sure that they want to reach the lost. All they want to do is go out there, get the lost, come back. Go out, find the lost, come back. All their messages, everything they do, and by the way, you can, if you're a cell leader, if you're in a cell group, you can actually measure yourself against this, because our cell groups are normally like that as well. A church in this category will normally go out there. They will reach the lost. Every service will be structured around that. Every message will be around that. It's about the lost. It's about getting them continually encouraging people to move out there. The level or the service, the sermon might be often be very introductory, making sure that there's a safe ground, that everybody can connect to that, that we don't go too deep, that we don't lose the people. I think that's the challenge for us when we're standing here to minister to both ends of it. But nevertheless, so we see that in the church with the quantity purpose, that they just out there, we need to reach the lost. As many as can needs to hear the good news of Christ. So which one would you think is right this morning? Neither one. Both are right. And the thing is, I think as humans we often find ourselves that that we have to find the balance between the two. Either or both of them are right. It's just we find ourselves at different stages in life, and as God adds onto the church, we find that we might fluctuate between the two. And we continually need to read our congregation, our cell group, and see where are we at the moment. Are we at a place where we're too comfortable? Then we need to go, and that's a word for somebody here this morning. Just go. Don't go home. Don't go away from the church. Just go out there. Or do we need to sit down and see that we grow to more mature or to maturity? And for us, that is a challenge for the church. It's all about that, about getting people from out there, bringing them to the place, to Christ, raising them up, and then sending them again. Gathering, scattering, gathering, scattering. That's all what it's about. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "But you," listen how Peter would describe us. He's talking to us. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." He says, I'm going to read it again. He doesn't just say, listen, you're just a bunch of church people, church members. No, no, no. Rephrase and think about it this way. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." And then he says, "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You see, it leads us to that. Why are we here this morning? Why does the church exist? We are called out of darkness into light so that we can grow and proclaim that to others as well, continuously. You see, if we have to summarize that this morning, if that's the only thing you remember about why the church exists this morning, it's about this thing. It's about knowing him and making him known. Knowing him, making him known, continuously. I get to know Jesus more and more and more and more. But as I'm getting to know him, at the same time, I want to make him known to others. They tell me, I'm not the expert in this, but they tell me that that they would use the portrait of a lot of these famous artists. They will paint themselves. Often you will find something of the artist in that painting, a self-portrait. Today we get the selfies on Facebook, right? You know, why are you laughing? You know that. they all do it different various places on the brink of an afgrond. They will just, or somewhere, weird places, they take these selfies. And God is painting himself on us. Only problem is that when God visits us a year later and the painting still looks the same, there's a problem. You need to ask the Lord, or you need to submit to something that he can continue with the painting. But God is working with us as a church, and continuously we need to ask ourselves, where are we? Are we at the place where we're getting to know him? Are we making him known? As a cell group, as an individual, am I giving God enough, spending enough time with him so I can get to know him? Because it's okay to say I have a desire to know God, but what I'm putting on the table, can God use that in order to bless that so that I can get to know him? And if I say I want to make him known, do I seize every opportunity which Christ gives me? Or when I ask him, there's always that awkward time when he would turn up and answer the prayer, when it's maybe not convenient. I don't know about you, but that's what I found when I pray these prayers. And I'm sometimes nowadays but careful to pray these prayers because I know the Holy Spirit answers those prayers. So God, give me an opportunity to testify about this today. Maybe, Lord, we like this right prayer. It's a beautiful prayer you can pray. Lord, give me opportunity today to share your name or share your goodness. And then you will be there maybe at Sparren, and you stand there and the lady that's helping you and the Holy Spirit now, and there's three people behind you, and you're like, Lord, this must be and can't be. Gaan weg, Satan. This can't be. Now it's my son. No, it was probably the Lord just answering the prayer. But knowing him, making him known, the church. We exist to glorify God through that. When we get to know him, when we focus on the quality thing, and that's why we have to get that one right from time to time. Because Matthew 28 is about making disciples, or getting disciples and making disciples and teaching them to obey. Both ends. Not the one at the cost of the other. So as a cell group, we sometimes have to sit down and say, listen, have we been going out? Have we been sharing? Have we done something about that? No. Then it's maybe time that we sit down and do that once again. Or other end of the story is also true this morning. So when we say to one another this morning, when we glorify God, it's about knowing Him, making Him known. Say, knowing Him, making Him known. Just that. That is the whole message of Matthew 22, when they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus responds to the rich man. He says, love your God, love the God with your whole heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Gathering, scattering. Knowing, making Him known. Loving God, telling others about the love of God. It's all about that. Adam, it all connects. Adam, where are you? Only two questions that God will ask. Adam, where are you? Once you've answered that question, I'll ask you, Cain, where's your brother Abel? So God just is between these two, and we have to continuously balance these two. But let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. We ain't going to be long, and I know that's the best message you've ever heard in a long time. And if that's the only thing you take with you, I'm glad. So Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Who knows the previous two verses? You probably can know it off by heart, because that's why you're sitting here. I'll read it to you. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then Paul continues with verse 10. He says, you are being saved by grace. It's not a work of yourselves. It's a free gift given to you. You can't boast in that. That is salvation. That's why we sit here this morning. And then that's the place where a lot of us end up. We read verse 8 and 9 and then we think, okay, for by grace you've been saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I receive that miracle. I repent, I receive, and I sit down and thank you, Lord. And I forgot to read verse 10. The Bible says, but you've been saved. You received that freely, but you were saved for a reason. For we are His workmanship. Let's just stop there, that word workmanship. The word workmanship is the same word or similar to masterpiece. Some translations talk about the masterpiece. And when we talk about the masterpiece, it's something that He created. That's why 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells us you are a holy nation. You're a chosen one. I bought you. You're not just a person this morning. We are a holy nation belonging to Him. And He says to us, you are a masterpiece. I created you. I planned you. I designed you. And I'm proud of you. Some of us, we struggle to receive that. I don't know if you, a lot of us, sometimes we're not good with our hands. But if you are and you can, and you create that, I don't know, maybe you're proud about that first table you made. Or the first, I don't know, whatever you made with your hands. And you've got it there at home. Some of us, we buy the stuff rather. Because we're not good with it. I tend to love to do these things, but I can't do it alone. So I always do it with Daryl. So I know then he's my backup, you know. So I've got 10% in the table and he's got 90% shares in the... But I get the credit when the people get home there. They say, oh, you made this table? I say, yes, I did. But anyway, you feel kind of that accomplishment when you finish that thing. So, wow, I managed to put this together. And likewise, God things about you the same. Do you know, I created you. I made you. I dreamed about you. I thought about you long before the foundation of the world. I wanted this bride, and I'm bringing people together from different angles, different places, bringing together. But I don't put them on display. I think if we have to describe the church or demonstrate the church nowadays in an illustrative way. We'll need to have a lot of these cupboards in the front there. You know, when you go to somebody, I know the older people, forgive me this morning, we have our cabinets where we put on all this little doggy and it's a little this and a teaspoon from Holland, and we have all these things which we display. Which is beautiful. I'm not knocking anybody here this morning. But we have this. My mom has got it all. And we've got all places where I display my my wurrings from my We all have those things which we display out there. But I think often in the church we would find a lot of cabinets of a lot of things being displayed there. What do I mean with that? God doesn't save us. So you're so beautiful, hero. Oh man, I love you. I'm going to put you there in the cupboard there and display you for the rest of the world. And then everybody can go past there and say, just, oh, this is beautiful. God gives us a purpose. He lines us up. He saves us. Gives it freely to us. We're not saved by works. We're saved for works. Works is not the cause of our salvation. It's the result of our salvation. And It's just the start. Conversion. Sorry, that's the word I'm looking for. Conversion was not the end. It's just the beginning. And we don't get this one often. We think it's about coming to church. On Sunday I've been here. I've been on display. And I saw my brothers and sisters. And the fellowship is great and all of that. And then I go out and display again. Put myself there. But God says, no, you have to realize that you were saved for a bigger purpose than just the fact that you are here this morning. The fact that you are a holy nation. That you are belonging to me. That I created you for good works. John 11, Jesus, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And then he tells the people, take off that grave clothes and let him go. And a lot of us, we need to let go of the grave clothes and then go. Go and find something to do. Something for your hands. Something good works. You know, the Bible is so full with it. The aeroplane's wheels are out, so you can relax. We're going somewhere. But the Bible is so full with good works. And we often not good works. We often say, no, it's not about works. It's not about, yes, it's not about works. Because works wouldn't attain, you can't attain your salvation through works. But that's not where it stops. God says, okay, I gave that to you freely. I want you to discover that. Not people to force you to that. Because God gives that to us. That's stewardship. Where he allows us all to dig in there and say, I want you to discover why I made you. I want you to discover why I placed you in Shofar Swakop Mundia this morning. He continues in Matthew 5 and 16. There's so many scriptures. He says, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Through our good works. Not to shine the light on us, that they would see it in us and say, wow, there must be a greater one. Somebody out there. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, we should abound to every good work. Colossians 1:10 says, we should be fruitful in every good work. 2 Timothy 3 verse 17 says this, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then Titus 2 verse 14, we are to be zealous for every good work. John 15 verse 8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples. God saves us. And then he says, discover your purpose. Because I want to be glorified through that. Through the good works that's coming forth out of your life. Out of a place of thankfulness. Not out of a place of achieving something. Or building my own pedestal so that I can be seen. God says, as we just read, so that Christ will be glorified in our good works. That means easy sense, we need to get our hands sometimes dirty and do something. I want us to hand out the communion. There's a bomb going off somewhere. Can they just help us to hand it out quickly? I don't want us to take it at the moment. Just take the communion. We're going to use it together, but we're going to do it a bit different this morning. There's a song we sang in the first service. We can't sing it now, but it's the cornerstone. Christ, the cornerstone. He's the hope. He's the glory. His life was laid down so that he would be the cornerstone of the church. That's why we're here this morning. That's why Christ is building his church. Matthew 16, verse 18, where he says, that Christ says to Peter, last week we saw that, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And you know, when we are at a place like we are at the moment, as on a practical level where we are, I think it's just so beautiful, and so we are so privileged that God says, I want to add another room. Tonight we add another room to this house. So the house is too small, I want to build another room. Christ already did what he had to do. He's the cornerstone. That's why we do, or we take communion this morning, to celebrate what Christ has done, the work that he's done. He's laid down his life as the cornerstone. And then he says, it doesn't stop there. I want you to be part of that house. I want you to see yourself as a brick this morning. God wants to take that brick this morning. And this is what we're going to do when we, obviously you know why it's about, why we do communion, but I want us to be practical this morning. I want us to ask ourselves this question. You're going to go to somebody of your choice just to pray together and ask one another these questions. But Christ says, I'm the cornerstone, but I want to add to this house, and you're another brick, and I want to put that on top of that, and we're building the house, and we're busy building another room at this moment. But the first thing I want us to ask one another is that have you found your place in the body? And I mean in the general body. If that means that you need to belong here, have you come to that place where you say, Lord, this is my house? In other words, aka membership. Have you come to that place and say, well, this is the place where I belong. I want to become a member here. Or maybe if you're visiting somewhere else within the body, because God wants to build his church, where you are being cemented into to that room where Christ is adding onto that. But the second thing I want you to ask one another and help one another. Maybe you have to help one another with accountability here as well. It's just to ask yourself the question, have I discovered why I'm here this morning in this church, if you're part of this family? That means, where am I going to serve? You know, Christ came, he humbled himself, and he served us. And then we need to follow his example by serving one another as well. We can't serve the world out there if we can't even serve one another. And God gives us the practice ground. He says, you can do with it. Nobody's going to hopefully nobody's going to manipulate you or try to force you into somewhere where you, but I let that over to you to discover yourself. Maybe you need to help somebody or ask somebody to help you discover, to pray with you. So I haven't discovered why I'm here. Because deep inherited in you, there's good works that need to come forth out of that so that God can be glorified through that. So I want you to turn to somebody that you ask them, or that you talk about those two questions. And maybe if you want to talk to us afterwards and say, listen, I have an impression on my heart. I feel the conviction upon my heart that I need to become a member, or that I need to become involved somewhere. Help me, pray with me, whatever. I don't want to force you. Again, it's about stewardship here. It's about your choice. There's a decision you can make. I can't choose that. But we have to discover the beauty of the family, the beauty of God building the house, enlarging the house. And as he's enlarging, there's place for more. Amen. Let's share together.